What's the condition of Darwinism's so-called evolutionary science? A teetering house of cards. And Kirby Anderson is stirring up a breeze here on Probe.
You know, confidence in Darwinism erodes as new discoveries fail to produce supporting evidence. There are three books that actually illustrate this: House of Cards by journalist Tom Bethel, Zombie Science by biologist Jonathan Wells, and Undeniable by biologist Doug Axe. And these address areas where Darwin's grand idea is weaker now than 150 years ago. As Bethel states, today it more closely resembles a house of cards built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence, and liable to blow away at the slightest breeze. It is not just critics who recognize this weakening. In 2016, the Royal Society in London convened a meeting to discuss calls for revision of the standard theory of evolution. Four areas where Darwin hoped future work would support his theory will be examined. The first area is in the origin of reproducing beings. Darwin only hoped that life may have originated in a warm little pond, but as one scientist states, the origin of life field is a failure. We still do not have even a plausible, coherent model, let alone a validated scenario for the emergence of life on Earth. You know, Darwin assumed that the first reproducing cells were very simple. In truth, the simplest cells are composed of impressively complex machines which could not have arisen directly from inorganic components. But there are no known simpler life forms. As Michael Behe commented, the cell's known complexity has increased immeasurably in recent years and points ever more insistently to an intelligent designer as its cause. The probability of even one of the amino acids necessary for life appearing by random mutations is effectively zero given billions of years. As Doug Axe writes, examining how accidental evolutionary processes are supposed to have invented enzymes without insight, we consistently find these proposals to be implausible. Another professor states, those who think scientists understand the issues of prebiotic chemistry are wholly misinformed. Nobody understands them. The basis upon which we are relying is so shaky, we must openly state the situation for what it is, a mystery. Ever resorting to unobservable fantasy situations, the challenges presented by the origins of life cannot be overcome. A Darwinian model begins with a self-replicating life form. Currently, this appears to be a hill that no one knows how to climb.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Find out more about Darwinism's teetering house of cards. Get your free copy of Steve Cable's transcript at probe.org. Then join us next time as we shine God's light into our dark culture here on Probe.
You know, Darwin's theory is dependent upon the unobserved concept of macroevolution. Intergenerational differences accumulating into different species over time. Darwin believed his magic wand of natural selection could direct this process towards increasingly complex beings. Has further research confirmed his belief? Let's begin with the fossil evidence. A number of fossils studied has blossomed over the last 150 years. All the types of species which exist today appear in the fossil record over a relatively short period of time. And in most cases, with no transitional forms between them undermining Darwin's theory. As science historian Stephen Myers concludes, as more fossils are discovered, failing to document the great array of intermediate forms, it grows ever more improbable that their absence is an artifact of either incomplete sampling or preservation. As evolution proponent Stephen Gold writes, the extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil record persists as the trade secret of paleontology. The evolutionary trees have data only at the tips and nodes of their branches. The rest is inference. Nature editor Henry G. put it this way: to take a line of fossils and claim that they represent a lineage is not a scientific hypothesis that can be tested, but an assertion that carries the same validity as a bedtime story. Clearly, the fossil record challenges rather than supports conventional evolutionary theory. Let's continue by looking at experimental evidence. Attempts to create macroevolution in fruit flies, bacteria, and viruses concluded neither in nature nor under experimental conditions have any substantial effects ever been obtained through the systematic accumulation of micromutations. Bethel points out that the scientific evidence for evolution is not only weaker than it is generally supposed, but as new discoveries have been made, the reasons for accepting the theory have diminished rather than increased. Yet biology departments still spout their unfounded belief in the magic wand ability to produce unimaginable array of advanced creatures in what amounts to the triumph of ideology over science. Even some materialists see through this charade. One geneticist at Harvard wrote, "If scientists are going to use logically unbeatable theories about the world, they might as well give up natural science and take up religion." You know, Darwin wrote that his theory would absolutely break down if an organ could not be formed by numerous successive slight modifications. Have such organs been found? Irreducible complexity and functional coherence say yes. Irreducible complexity means that some known functions require multiple parts that have no purpose without the other parts. For a Darwinian process to create these functions would require useless mutations to be indefinitely maintained until combined with other useless mutations. Michael Behe's analysis has shown that 4 billion years of the Earth's existence are not sufficient for such complex functions to be created by random mutations. Even if an improbable series of events occurred allowing one of these complex forms to arise through a set of random mutations, it would need to happen thousands, if not millions of times, to produce our complex life forms. In Undeniable, Axe introduces functional coherence, defined as the hierarchical arrangement of parts needed for anything to produce a high-level function, each part contributing in a coordinated way to the whole. Axe examines the role of functional coherence at a microscopic level and concludes that the fact that mastery of protein design is completely beyond the reach of blind evolution is evolution's undoing. In Zombie Science, Wells considers the number of irreducibly complex subsystems required to evolve fully aquatic whales. These features include flukes with specialized muscles, blowholes with elastic tissues and specialized muscles, internal testicles with a countercurrent heat exchange system, specialized features for nursing, and many others. For Darwinism, these changes are insurmountably large. Whales certainly appear to be the product of design, not unguided evolution. He also points to advanced optical systems, the process by which light detection becomes an intelligent signal to the brain is irreducibly complex. Two scientists wrote, "The prototypical eye cannot be explained by selection because selection can drive evolution only when the eye can function at least to a small extent." These scientists determined the eye was irreducibly complex and could not be developed by natural selection. So we can agree with Darwin on this issue. His theory absolutely breaks down. Has uncovering the role of DNA filled the gaping holes in Darwinism or created more? A species' DNA sequence, we are told, contains all the information necessary to create new members. But Doug Axe states that we would be shocked to know the state of ignorance with respect to DNA. The view that most aspects of living creatures can be attributed neatly to specific genes has been known to be false for a long time. The higher-level components making up a species are not entirely specified by its DNA. As Wells explains, after DNA sequences are transcribed into RNAs, many RNAs are modified so that they do not match the original transcript, changing over time according to the needs of the organism. The claim that DNA makes RNA makes proteins is false. Creating new complex functions requires multiple changes in the DNA sequence and in other elements, making the chance of random mutations creating new species untenable. The original conflicting trees of life were created examining the morphology, that is, the structures of species. These trees suggest different major nodes, but almost no transitional forms. Can DNA analysis help? Research has shown that groupings based upon morphology are not supported by DNA analysis. As Wells notes, these conflicts are a major headache for evolutionary biologists. But DNA analysis alone has a great deal of uncertainty. In one study looking at 50 genes from 17 animal groups, multiple conflicting ideas on the evolutionary relationship between the animal groups were proposed, but all could not be true. Originally, scientists thought that DNA was primarily junk sequences, not contributing to the characteristics of a species. This junk represented functions which were replaced or had no current usefulness. As Crick said, "The possible existence of such selfish DNA is exactly what might be expected from the theory of natural selection." But recent research shows that at least 80% of the human genome contributes. As Wells reports, the evidence demonstrates that most of our DNA is transcribed into RNA and that many of those RNAs have biological function. The idea that most of our DNA is junk is dead. The facts uncovered about the functioning of DNA and other elements in passing on characteristics to the next generation appear to make more holes in evolutionary theory. Recent scientific insights have weakened Darwin's theory, yet many are unwilling to discuss its weakness. Why this reluctance? Well, it falls into two camps, a commitment to materialism and a desire for academic acceptance. Materialism is a religious viewpoint where everything has a natural explanation. A spiritual component or events resulting from an outside force are rejected. Science is not materialism. Science attempts to identify and quantify the forces that make the universe. A materialist science adds a religious restriction. Only natural forces can be considered. Bethel states, although Darwinism has been promoted as science, its unstated role has been to prop up the philosophy of materialism and atheism. Atheist Colin Patterson offers an honest view regarding the theory of evolution as often unnecessary in biology. Nevertheless, it was taught as the unified field theory of biology, holding the whole subject together. Once something has that status, it becomes like religion. Until they have a better theory, they will stand behind it rather than consider alternatives. They fear that any uncertainty will lead to questioning other aspects of materialism, such as that free will and love for others are simply a facade promoted by natural selection. Bethel points out, if our minds are accidental products of a blind process, what reason do we have for accepting the materialist claims as true? Many scientists are not diehard materialists. They believe that there may be a spiritual aspect to our existence, yet they promote the materialistic view. For most, this inconsistent approach is a reaction to the threat of censure from the establishment. Axe claims the religious agenda is the enemy that threatens science. The same arguments used against intelligent design apply more accurately to Darwinism. Bethel states, some have said that design can't be measured and therefore is a religious belief. They might also have said that macroevolution has not yet been measured or even observed. In this review, we've seen that there is no materialistic concept for the life's origin, that there is little evidence for transitional life forms, that there is strong evidence that complex functions could not arise through random changes, and DNA is playing havoc with the basic tenets of Darwinism. Now we wait for the facade raised by supporters of a flawed concept to collapse.